And away we go. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my pal John, engineering and producing our program. Welcome to the program on Monday, October 23rd, 2023, in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio on the campus of Bustos Media Tucson, where we have five radio stations under one roof. 1030 is this station, KVOI, Tucson's trusted voice for local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening at my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed that's available 24/7 at kvoi.com. The live line, if you'd like to join in the conversation, it's 790-2040. Call us anytime during the program with questions or comments. The live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Yes, it was good to get away. I definitely needed it. Get out of town. Get out of Dodge. And I rediscovered something after 6 months. Cool air. Yes, there is such a thing, John. Oh, my goodness. 60 degrees and looking at the waves break along the gorgeous Santa Monica Beach. I don't know how they do it. They manicure that beach. They have these giant machines. Like, you've seen the Zambonis, the ice machines. There must be something like that. But they just keep the sand looking good. And really, they've done a beautiful job there in Santa Monica. Cleaned up a lot of the Pacific Palisades Park. Looked really good. Dan Scheer, thank you, Dan, for your support of the program and hosting two of the five shows while I was away. Thanks to Ben Bueller Garcia. Ben always does a great job. Dan, Ben did two shows. And then we welcome Tim Steller. Tim did his kind of first show, first hosting of a show. Tim Steller, the award-winning columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Thanks to all of you for letting me go away and know that the program is in good hands. Didn't have to worry about it. Didn't think twice about it. I knew it would all come out very well. Time for our Monday one-on-one, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe and his wonderful family specialize in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. And I have to do a special personal shout out to Moe. He and the family framed a beautiful portrait of Anne that was featured prominently as guests came into the celebration of life a week ago Saturday at St. Philip's. That was very, very nice of Mo to do. And also, thanks to everyone who came. We had a fantastic crowd. Almost every seat was taken at St. Philip's. What a tribute to Anne. You know, it's a tribute, certainly, that was so worthy of her. So thanks to everybody in there. I met several listeners, actually quite a few listeners, who came out, and I thank them and thank all the other people. This week's one-on-one interview is with David Lujan. David was appointed in March to be the director of the Arizona Department of Child Safety. David Lujan is the former president and CEO of Children's Action Alliance. Children's Action Alliance seeks in Arizona, an Arizona where all children and families thrive, and is a nonpartisan voice for children at the state capitol. His quarter-century career has focused on improving the lives of children through public policy, the legal system, and education. David Lujan is a former member of the state Senate and House of Representatives. He served as an assistant attorney general and as legal counsel for the Arizona Senate Judiciary Committee, and he joins us now from the state capitol on the live line. David, how are you?
Hi, Bill. I'm good. Thank you.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about this new position, and people may not be familiar with the Arizona Department of Child Safety. David, what's in the portfolio for ADCS?
Yeah, well, the Arizona Department of Child Safety has now next year will be our 10th year as a standalone agency. Before, people may remember us as CPS, Child Protective Services, and about 10 years ago, the legislature created DCS as a separate standalone agency, and we are basically charged with keeping children safe. When calls of abuse or neglect come into our hotline, we have investigators who go out and investigate and make sure that children are in safe situations, and when they are not, then we will remove them and we oversee a foster care system in Arizona as well.
You've been in the job about 7 or 8 months. What's your assessment of where the department stands right now, David Lujan?
Yeah, it's certainly a challenging job. It's very difficult in terms of what we have in front of us. But the reason I took the position is because I see great opportunity, with Governor Hobbs and her mission of really wanting to create a state where children and families can thrive. And I think, DCS has been moving in the right direction. When you look at just last month, we dropped below 10,000 children in out-of-home care. And that number is significant in that people that have followed the child welfare system in Arizona for a few years would know that as recent as 2018, we had close to 19,000 children in out-of-home care. So the number has dropped significantly, which is good. But we still have a lot of challenges ahead as an agency. We have, far too many children that are in group homes. We don't have enough foster families in Arizona. Significant disproportionality in terms of who is in the child welfare system. So there's a lot of challenges that we still have to address, but I think we've been moving in the right direction. And my goal as the new director is to try and keep some of the good things that we've been moving and try and address some of those challenges that I mentioned as well.
That's impressive. I mean, you've cut that almost in half. But still 10,000, of course, is too many. What were some of the ingredients that make that made that possible to get some of those kids out of the system, David Lujan?
Well, I think part of it is, and this is really where I want to continue the focus, is on prevention. How do we prevent families from coming into the child welfare system to begin with? And if you look at our data, the largest number of cases that we come into our hotline are calls of neglect. And when you look further at those calls of neglect, often they're related to issues of people experiencing poverty. So, for example, they might not have the ability to afford childcare. And so you have issues of children being left unattended or they may have not being able to afford housing. So you have people experiencing homelessness. And so I think where we've been working on is addressing some of those issues in terms of getting families resources so that they're not coming into the child welfare system because they're experiencing poverty. That should never be the case. It should be we're getting them the resources so that they can succeed as a family. And what are the services that we can provide to keep families together? And that's really what our focus is, because it is such a traumatic event when children are separated from their families. And so we want to prevent that from whenever possible. And so if we can provide the resources, the prevention services, so that families don't come into the child welfare system to begin with, I think that will bode well for children and families in Arizona.
One word just jumps out at me, that the root cause, one of the root causes here is poverty. And the columnist David Krugman at the New York Times wrote about this a couple of weeks ago, saying that America has betrayed its children again. And he points out that child poverty, David, more than doubled in this country from 2021 and 2022. That's 5.1 million children who were pushed, as David Krugman says, into misery, for it really is miserable, of course, to be poor in America. So we really are dealing with a situation here that, would you agree that one of the root causes is the poverty situation in Arizona?
Absolutely. I think anything we can do as a state to address poverty, I think will obviously benefit families being able to stay together, but it benefits us as a state, our economy, everything going forward. And I think you mentioned the statistic of the huge increase in child poverty. The reason for that is just 2 years before when the pandemic hit, we had the largest decrease of children in poverty that we'd seen, at least in a long time. And that was because they passed a child tax credit in Washington, D.C. And that they expanded the child tax credit, which lifted millions of children and families out of poverty across the country. And then what happened was, a couple of years later after the pandemic, they rescinded that expansion. And so that's when children went back into poverty. And so that's an example of when we can provide resources to families, that can go a long way in relieving a lot of pressures that families feel.
Yeah, and I just want to one more quote from that column. Krugman says, unfortunately, children can't vote and poor adults tend not to vote either. So politicians can get away with policies that harm poor children. And I think there's some truth in that, maybe a lot of truth, that the politicians gloss over, David Lujan, or ignore the child well-being issues. You've been around, you didn't get off the bus yesterday when it comes to this. You've been dealing with this for a quarter of a century here in Arizona. There's a lot of truth in that, isn't there?
There is. And I think the thing that often frustrates me is that how people will fail to take a look at the bigger picture of, how this impacts us as a state, as our economy, how well we address issues of poverty really impact all of us. Because if we can prevent, for example, children and families from coming into the child welfare system, from going into foster care, then that's going to help our state and our economy in the long run. Because what we often see is that children who are removed from their families at an early age, the trauma associated with that, they often, when they grow up and they become parents, it gets repeated over and over. And so we can address that. We can do a better job of providing the economic supports so that those families and those children can succeed. They're going to become productive members of our workforce. That's going to strengthen our economy. That's going to make our state stronger in the long run. But unfortunately, I think sometimes policymakers don't take a look at that sort of big picture view of things, and they're just looking more at the short term. And really, I think, if we look at the long-term benefits of addressing poverty and helping families to succeed, that's the better way to go.
All right, David, stick around. I want to talk more with you about child well-being issues in Arizona. David Lujan is with us. He's our Monday one-on-one guest. He's the director of the Arizona Department of Child Safety. Right now, I want to talk about my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, and not only the Kringle, but a ton of other comfort food that everybody loves. They're at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Their breakfast starts serving at 6:30 in the morning. Right now, they're doing lunch, but if you want breakfast now, that's not an issue. Their website's monasdanishbakery.com. You will be very tempted when you go to the website. You'll see all sorts of great goodies. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. It's the Buckmaster Show. More on our Monday one-on-one after we take a quick break. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan to the RTA board by December. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
This is Kate Delaney. Tune in later tonight as we talk about everything that happened throughout your day. Tonight at 10 on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Our Monday one-on-one is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe and his family do such a great job with everything. Everything they touch, it always comes out really nice. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Free Plug Time, Copenhagen. Centrally located in town, and their website is moesgallery.com. We're going to continue now with our conversation with David Lujan. Mr. Lujan was appointed in March by the governor to be the director of the Arizona Department of Child Safety, and he's the former president and CEO of the Children's Action Alliance. He's been involved with child well-being issues here in Arizona for at least 25 years. David, you mentioned in the first segment about 10,000 young people are in the system, the foster care system. How many group homes support that many children, David Lujan?
Oh, well, being the new guy, I couldn't give you an exact number offhand, but it's too many, actually. I mean, I think, you know, it's we don't want to have kids in group homes in Arizona. We want to, and that's part of our goals going forward, are what are the strategies we can put in place to reduce kids being in group homes. And then there's really a couple areas where we're focusing on, and that is, one, we want to encourage more people to become foster families in Arizona. We, unfortunately, since the pandemic, have seen a real drop-off in foster families, and so I would encourage people in your audience, if they're interested in becoming foster families, go to our website and learn more, because that's an important part of just providing loving homes for kids who have unfortunately been separated from their families. The other, I think, area where we want to really focus on to reduce group home population is, and I think we've been doing a good job in this in recent years, is increasing kinship providers. Those are, you know, when children unfortunately do have to be removed from the homes, where can we find, you know, grandparents or aunts, uncles, other family members who can take these kids in and One thing that has been good that's happened in recent years is we've been able to increase the stipend, the monthly stipend that, that kinship providers receive for taking in family members when they're in that situation. And so we want to increase our efforts to, when children do have to be removed, to place them with family members, because the data shows that they have much better outcomes when they can stay with family than going into group homes.
I think it would be worthwhile, David, to speak a bit about how someone becomes a foster parent. What is involved in that process?
Yeah, so if you're interested, you reach out, and like I said, on our website, you have an area where you can find information, and then we have licensing agencies that we contract with throughout Arizona. And then what they do is you go through, you take some trainings and classes, you have to have background checks, and then you basically get licensed to be a foster family. And then, depending on, where you are in the state and other things, you will have, foster children that would be placed with you.
You know, it just breaks my heart even thinking about even one young person being separated from their biological parents for whatever reason. What about reuniting these parents after they are taken from the biological parents? What does that process look like, David Lujan?
Yeah, well, that's always our top goal is whenever possible, if we have to remove children, how can we reunify? And so what will happen is when that happens is the DCS caseworkers will work with the families to develop a case plan and lay out the steps that families, parents need to take in order to be able to safely return the children to their home. And it really just depends on the circumstances of each situation. And, I think we offer and want to offer more services to families, so that, whatever the challenges that they are facing, we're helping them to deal with those things so that they can have the children safely return. It might be substance abuse services or it could be, again, providing job training or other things so that, the families, whatever barriers they're facing, what can we do to reunify families as quickly as possible is always our goal, safely.
Do you have the personnel that you need? And of course, we'll have a legislative session that will be starting in January, and I'm sure you're working on a budget, a plan, the money program for the upcoming legislative session. Do you have what you need for men and women investigators and everything that can perhaps get more kids out of the system?
Yeah, well, the other piece of good news for our agency right now is that 96% of our positions, including 96% of our caseworker positions, are filled, which is the highest I think it's been in many, many, many years. And so that's a good thing. But I would say the reason we've always been able to fill those positions is that 2 years ago, the legislature was able to give a salary increase that made our field workers, their staff, comparable to other jobs they might get out there. But the legislature last year failed to give another increase. And so, already we're seeing, that salary increase that they got 2 years ago, the positive impacts, don't last for that long. And so I think it's important that we're every year being able to give our staff salary increases. So yes, absolutely. That would be a pitch I would be making to the legislature the better we can compensate our staff to make it so that they are paid a wage comparable to what they can make in other areas. That helps us, because when we have 96% of our positions filled as we do now, that means their caseloads are lower. That means they can spend more time with families to working towards positive outcomes. So it really does benefit us and create better outcomes when we are able to pay our staff what they're worth.
What backgrounds do these people bring to the job? Are these people that perhaps have been in law enforcement, David Lujan?
Some are come from law enforcement. A lot are social workers, you know, and I think this is social work. It's working with families and trying to identify the services that they need to help them, to strengthen families. And so, you know, but we get people from all walks of life, but I think probably social workers and law enforcement are probably the two areas that we get most of them from.
All right. Before we let you go, let's talk a little bit about where people can find out more information. You mentioned the website. What is the website? And there's all sorts of information there about perhaps there's someone listening right now that would like to become a foster parent.
Yeah. You can put me on the spot. I think our website is azdcs.gov, Arizona Department of Child Safety. And I think, you know, on our website, you will find all sorts of information in terms of, you know, how to become a foster parent, how the child welfare system works in Arizona, the different services and things that we provide. And so you'll find all of that there.
David Lujan, thank you very much. Good reconnecting with you again, David.
Same. Thank you, Bill. I appreciate the opportunity.
All right, David Lujan, our Monday one-on-one guest, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe and the family specialize in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. We're at the midway point of the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, the 23rd of October. Be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade. Using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Thinking about a river cruise? Let Bon Voyage Travel guide you to choose the perfect cruise to complement your vacation dreams. River cruising has become more popular than ever, and we know you have so many options to consider when selecting the destination, cruise line, and ship. At Bon Voyage Travel, we provide a comprehensive presentation on the top tips for river cruises and have a team of specialists to assist you. Visit bvtravel.com and view our River Cruise 101 presentation today.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, October 23rd. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. You know, Green Things, wow, this is a perfect time now to get over to Green Things. Finally, 100 degrees is in the rearview mirror. Wow, it took a record amount of time well into October to get rid of the 100 degrees. So now would be a good time to go by Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, 13-acre site, also home to Zocalo Village. They have some beautiful Talavera pottery, beautiful imported items from Mexico. Come tour the shops at Zocalo Village. The websites, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Green Things in their 53rd year of business, and they are open daily. When we do our telephone interviews, which we are about to do, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Let's welcome back to the program the Democrat representing District Number 2 on the 5-member Pima County Board of Supervisors, Dr. Matt Hines. Dr. Hines, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. Thanks so much for having me.
I want to say publicly thank you for your job, your day job. I mean, you got two hats. You're a Pima County Supervisor and you're a hospitalist at Pima at Tucson Medical Center. And I want to say publicly thank you for a couple of visits. You looked in on Ann Buckmaster in her final days. And I want to say publicly that I very much appreciate it, Dr. Hines.
It was my pleasure to be there with her. I think all of us were surprised that I didn't know that that was, you know, that those were truly her final days. But it was my pleasure.
Yep. She moved from there to 24 hours at very good care over at Pepe's house. But so I wanted to say publicly thank you. And speaking of the hospital, how are we doing, Dr. Hines, with COVID? And I know I've had my updated shot. I've had my RSV shot and my flu shot. The triad for folks over 60, for sure.
For sure. Yeah. It is so important that you do this. And we're seeing the numbers as we expect. You know, winter is coming. This is the time of year that we start to see, influenza, A and B, RSV, other kind of respiratory illnesses. And again, COVID is on the rise. In fact, personally, I admitted just a few days ago for the first time in many months, I would almost venture to say nearly a year, a truly symptomatic symptomatic COVID patient. I've had many people come in COVID positive. Usually they're vaccinated or they've had it before, and they're there for like a hip surgery or something else. And incidentally, you know, they don't have fevers, they're not coughing or anything, but we incidentally find out that they happen to be, COVID positive with an asymptomatic case. So no big deal. But for the first time in nearly a year, I admitted to the hospital someone requiring quite a bit of oxygen, who was COVID positive, no influenza, no other viruses we knew of. And that just kind of shocked me back into the reality that we're looking at we still have COVID. It's still with us. And in some cases, it can be very, very dangerous for people. And take it seriously. Get your booster, get your flu shot, get your RSV shot, and to help yourself and others around you.
This COVID, particular COVID shot seems to be pretty effective and is really, is zeroing in on targeting apparently what's going, these latest varieties, Dr. Hines.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So it's a more up-to-date one. It's not the same as the ones from a couple years ago. It's not, you know, highly experimental, still FDA kind of, no. It's all, this is all approved stuff at this point. And as you mentioned, it is tailored more specifically to the variants that are most prevalent right now seasonally, and therefore it will be more highly effective for people to get.
What is the conspiracy theorist? What has that done to the medical profession that we have seen emerge out of the pandemic? I'm just curious some of your thoughts about all that.
I think it caught all of us by surprise. I was certainly really stunned because before a couple years ago, nobody would think anything strange or nefarious at all about getting their child every possible vaccine that we have, polio, Tdap, MMR, all these things before they matriculate, say, at a public school. No issue. But it's become just, you know, it's been politicized. People were, I think, very scared, very fearful, kind of, you know, attached themselves to some really wacky stuff spreading around social media and the internet, and have just kind of barricaded themselves in those rather intransigent spots. And there is going to be, I suspect, 30-35% of the population who will continue to spread terrible falsehoods about the COVID vaccine, and possibly extend that to other life-saving vaccinations like the annual flu shot, RSV, and others we've been talking about. And that's really, it's unfortunate, because it will have an overall impact of endangering more people in our population, and potentially leading to more people succumbing to these illnesses when they could have protected themselves because they were listening to someone or reading something that was just garbage science, not even science. And that in the medical profession, like, what we do is science and facts, and you can't have your own facts. It doesn't work that way. So it's been very difficult for all of us, I think.
Yeah, you've got one in three people that are believing this stuff, and you think about, that's a lot of people. If they were to be vaccinated, it really could have, I don't know, when the COVID thing might have been nipped in the bud a lot sooner, Dr. Hines.
I believe you're right. I think the same exact thing. And now we've got this kind of permanent just group of folks that are going to continue with that, and may, going forward, some of these younger folks who might be reproducing and having their own kids and, you know, threatening or following through on no vaccines before they go to public schools, or keeping them home and out of public schools, or who knows. And we're going to end up with, clusters of, God help us, I mean, polio coming back. Are we going to have, like, measles? Really? You know, are we going to do that? That's what I'm worried about, because it's not just COVID. I'm hearing and reading that people are extending this to a lot of other vaccinations that were never considered in any way. No question whatsoever about the science and how successful they were, or the necessity to do it, because that's what we need to do in the public, the interest of the public health and the greater good. It wasn't questioned before 2 years ago, and now here we are.
You know, we just had our first half of the program, an interesting conversation with David Lujan, who is, was, you know, David, he was appointed by the governor in March to head up the Department of Child Safety. And we're talking about, there are still 10,000 young people in foster homes. And we talked about the root of a lot of this, and it is poverty. And the level of poverty, Dr. Hines, in this community, as you well know, is a huge problem. And I know Pima County and Tucson have kind of begun talks on how do we bolster prosperity for region's families. But you're talking about the root cause of many things when you talk about poverty, sure. Matt Hines.
That's right. It's not just whether or not someone's going to have a roof over their head. It's going to have an impact on, the children of a family being able to focus on their education, going to public school hungry. You know, yes, there are free lunches and other programs like that, but, you know, mom and dad or just mom or moms or dads or whatever the family structure is, being stressed out over this kind of thing, that is not something that the children somehow magically are exempted from. They feel that, they understand that stress, and it impacts their ability to survive and thrive and learn. So it does have impacts on health, on stress levels, on, you know, all sorts of health indicators, whether it's blood pressure, depression, suicide attempts and successful suicides, all these things, certain other habits, alcoholism, tobacco use, all these things can be directly tied to this kind of situation, what poverty brings. So it is not just paying the bills and making sure you have a roof, but it's a lot of other stuff too.
And you've got to disrupt the multi-generational poverty that we not only see in this town, but really in the United States. That's really the way to improve the lives, isn't it, of those experiencing poverty?
It is, and we have seen some really interesting and successful programs where, on a smaller scale, not every person under a certain level, but communities, counties, or cities have embarked upon an experiment where they will, say, designate by lottery, whatever, which they will pick a certain number of families, 1,000 or 2,000 or whatnot, and ensure them an additional basic level of income, another $500, another $750 or $1,000 per month, say, and just follow them for 2 years or for 3 years. And those experiments show very, very positive results. And I really hope that we can do something like that here. But of course, Pima County doesn't have the capacity or the budget to do this for everyone who deserves and needs that kind of support. We would need, of course, a national strategy, but I do think it's worthwhile looking at a small program here to prove it, to show like other communities have that this truly, truly does improve so many of those health indicators and other indicators we were talking about for the whole family.
And it is a multifaceted issue, and of course, it's talking about early childhood education, it's about housing, poverty, child care, and we touched on some of those health issues. Why don't we take a break right here, and when we come back with Dr. Matt Hines, let's talk a little bit about a county approach, a regional affordable housing approach. What can we do? We'll talk more with Dr. Matt Hines after we take a break.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority Plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA is collected throughout Pima County and averages more than $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation improvements in the region. The RTA is preparing a new 20-year plan for public review. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
This is John Trout. Catch me every weekday morning at 5 before Wake Up Tucson with America in the Morning. Breaking news, weather, politics, and sports on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. I want to do a quick shout out to our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. You know, when you think about New Mexico, this is really the beautiful time of year over there, especially Silver City with that mile-high elevation. It's only about a three-hour drive. If you're looking for something different to do perhaps this weekend, maybe some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, it's great weather over there right now. Check out their website, southwestnewmexico.org, and there you will find you'll be tempted by all sorts of activities, a lot of outdoor activities, great places to stay, and some great places to eat as well in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. On the live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, the District 2 Democrat representing, District 2 on the five-member Pima County Board of Supervisors. Kind of the theme of today's show, we've been talking about child well-being issues, talking about poverty, economic issues. But what we haven't talked about yet, Dr. Hines, is a regional approach to affordable housing. What's some of your thoughts, please?
For sure. And, you know, the county, since this new board was seated back in 2.5 years ago now, a little more, we have been, the majority of the board, pushing forward through the Affordable Housing Commission that we impaneled. Through their recommendations, we have been bringing forward county dollars whenever possible. In fact, the second request for proposal is currently out for the gap funding to help to keep prices low for in three different categories. One, of course, new housing construction that is considered affordable, new rental apartment unit construction that's considered affordable, as well as the rehabilitation of existing homes and apartment units to keep them livable and affordable. And these dollars, we've done a $5 million RFP and then another, I believe it's six and change now, that is available. And we're expecting those proposals to come in, I think, very robustly, far exceeding the number of dollars we have to dedicate. But these proposals are due at the end of October, and it is not the the solution, but it is certainly part of the solution to have all levels of government, federal, state, county, and municipality, when possible, working together to bring more of these housing units into the market and make them more available to help address this crisis.
I was over in Santa Monica for a few days. I was able to get away last week. It was really something I needed to do, and I was over in Santa Monica and Pacific Palisades Park. People probably know it, and I was expecting to see, you know, homeless people everywhere, because that's kind of the image right now of California. Well, at least in Santa Monica, there were very few homeless people, and I talked to several of the police officers that were doing walking through the park and on bicycles as well. And Santa Monica, Dr. Hines, has put a ton of money into transitional housing for these people. That if there are people that are on the, if they're sleeping in the park, and there is a designated team that takes these people to transitional housing, and so far it's working. So, but you got to, you got to spend a lot of money, but it's money that's well invested, Dr. Hines.
I completely agree. And looking at that at the county level, I think that, frankly, probably the state and federal, not quite appropriate. But when you get down to the county level, you really do have an opportunity to set the, establish Pima County as the convener, for this kind of a program, and to work toward, raising these funds and investing these funds and establishing a navigator system. There are teams, certainly, with a bunch of different NGOs. We have a lot of different folks helping with housing and homelessness, but one central navigation point, one nexus, so to speak, I think that is incredibly important to establish that, just like that community has done and many others across the country have done. I think that's the model we need to really investigate and move forward on.
Before we let you go, the transportation situation with the RTA Next program, they've set now some deadlines since we last spoke with you, Dr. Hines. Do you think these are doable deadlines for the RTA Next program? Some of your thoughts, please.
So just generally speaking, I desperately want the citizens who are impaneled to participate in this process, to provide feedback for the development of RTA Next, to actually be listened to. And in terms of the specific deadlines, look, in my opinion, if they are not, if they don't hear them when they bring up points from so many, many, I suspect thousands of our citizens in Pima County, there should be money built in for maintenance, not just more bands of road everywhere. There should be bike paths. There should be safer crosswalks. There should be smart, all sorts of interesting. The technology is there. We cannot just build these big, widest slabs of asphalt and concrete. We have to do this intelligently. And that is what I want. I want the citizens, like they are supposed to, those 36 citizens who are tasked with informing this process, to be heeded. And right now, one of the major impediments to that is Farhad, is the executive director of the RTA. I do not have confidence in his leadership ability, and I've observed as he's tried to short circuit the process and completely ignore the citizens' input. So all I say is we need to do this in a way that the people can actually have their opinions heard and then implemented and acted upon before anyone's going to be willing to vote for RTA Next, myself included.
Do you think that if it was really showing a lot of maintenance in the program, that would be a really good selling point for this program, Dr. Hines?
I believe so. Bill, you and I have talked about how many times we've had our tires assassinated by
too
the road.
Many. Too many.
Too many. It just happened to me again a couple months ago. So I am absolutely an advocate for this. And yes, in some cases, we do need to rehab or repair or raise the standards of particular roads. And in some cases, that may require some selective widening, et cetera. But there's so many other things we can do. And if a major component is not only just building some more roads here and there and some intelligent intersections and safer crosswalks and bike paths and all that, but also having a dedicated funding stream to maintenance. Because the HERF funds, we don't have enough money coming from the state to do that. We just don't. You know, that assessment, the gas assessment, hasn't been changed in, I think, since the early 1990s or late 1980s. So those funds just are not sufficient to do what we need for maintenance, which means any regional program like we're discussing must have a dedicated funding stream to maintain the things that it's going to put forward and build.
Yeah, it was 1993 the last time.
Thank you.
That formula
very,
was
very
changed. And every time my low pressure light goes off, I go, "Oh my, I hope it's just low pressure from change of the weather."
My last one actually fortunately did not require a full replacement. They were able to do the repair. And now my guys, they're just like, "Don't worry about it." I don't know how many tires I've had to replace there in the past few years. If they can repair it, they usually do it for free, which is lovely.
They love to see you coming.
Yeah.
All right, Dr. Matt Hines. Thanks, Matt. Good talking with you.
My pleasure, Bill.
All right, Dr. Matt Hines with us on the Buckmaster Show. That's going to wrap it up for our Monday edition. We'll be back in approximately 23 hours. But until then, I hope everybody has a great afternoon.